The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with one and all this morning as we worship a great God. And with this in mind, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace and we thank you so much for this opportunity. We thank you for this wonderful Sunday morning that you have provided for us. We thank you, Lord God, for for your word and for the plan of salvation. We thank you for this congregation that has come to worship thee. We also thank you for all those that are listening in and watching online, wherever they may hear and see today, that your name may all be honored and glorified, that your name be blessed today and forevermore. Lord, we pray that you cleanse my heart, cleanse my soul, cleanse my mind, and cleanse my lips, that your word that will flow over them may be fruitful in the name of Jesus. We also pray, Lord, for the government, that you will grant to them the insight that they may seek what is pleasing unto you. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
In your blue hymn 303, softly and tenderly, I'd also like to invite you to stand.
Yeah.
adults only, 398. Surely goodness and mercy.
Pilgrim was I, and I wandering in the cold.
I must truly say, in the name of Jesus Christ, it is a joy and a pleasure for me to be here today, or for us, I should say. I didn't come alone. I brought my wife along. We are working as a team. We are working together. And when I go preaching, I need my wife right there. And I thank her and I thank God that she is always willing to go along. I'm so pleased, especially with this last hymn where it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." But that is not so for everybody. That is only so for those that made a decision, that made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. His mercy and His grace is to follow us all the days of our life. For it is by the grace of God that we're still here. It is by the grace of God that we had an opportunity of redemption, of salvation. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but through Jesus Christ and the mercies of God, we have an open door through the pearly gates into glory land. And thus, I am very thankful. I'm very thankful for you as congregation that has come to worship. I'm also thankful for those that are just listening in by way of online, maybe, or whatever the case may be. Wherever you hear and whenever you hear this message today, may God bless you and be with you today and forevermore. As text words I have chosen for this Sunday morning from the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 24 to 26. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. This is very important verse here. It is far deeper than we often anticipate. It says, whatever ye desire shall be given unto you. We also find this written in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs and also in the book of Psalms. But in order for this promise of Jesus Christ to be fulfilled in our walk of life, we need to be reconciled with Him, with God, and with our fellow person. We need to be reconciled and saved by the grace of God. We need to believe in a way that we are also to follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." We cannot believe in the Lord Jesus Christ unless we love Him. In verse 23 in John chapter 14, He saith, "He that loveth me will keep my words." Today is the Sunday that we call Preparation Sunday, but we're not only preparing for communion. I don't know about here, but in our church in Altona, communion is to take place next Sunday. We're preparing ourselves for a far deeper meaning than only the communion, the eating of bread and the drinking of the cup, which represents the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. We are preparing us for the day of rapture when Jesus will come and take his church home. When our life, our days on earth will be over. That is the day we are preparing for. And this is a preparation that is to take place every day of our life. This is a preparation that we need to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ day by day. We need to follow commands, and we need to love one another, which is a great commandment, which Jesus gives us the first commandment in John chapter 13, verse 34. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. This we need to practice day by day. And we also need to be careful that we are not an offense to other people. And if we truly love them, we will try to prevent that. Not be an offense to other people. But if we only believe with an empty heart, then we look at the words that the Apostle James writes, faith without works is dead, being alone. It has no accomplishments if we only say, I believe. Anybody can say that. But to follow after Jesus Christ and his teachings is a different story. It is not so easy done. But if we surrender to the will of God, he gives us strength and guidance to do that. He gives us strength and guidance to follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. But without surrendering to the will of God, it is impossible. I often think of Saul before he was the Apostle Paul. He was a man of authority. Authority was given to him to take captive the Christians, to bring them to Jerusalem and to help make decisions of their torturing. And yet he thought he was doing God a favor, which was not so. Later on he says, what a wretched man I am. Who can deliver me from the presence of this evil? But he turns to God. God is able to do that, but only after he surrendered, he was able to say that. Now here we find, he that believeth, believe that ye receive that, what ye believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. If we surrender ourselves to the will of God, and we humble ourselves, and we love our fellow person more than we love ourselves, then this is going to happen. God is going to give us what we desire. And when we think of the fact of what I just mentioned, what is our greatest desire today as we approach communion, and much more important, as we approach the day when Jesus will come and take his children home? What is our greatest desire? Is it not to be washed by the blood of the Lamb? Is it not to be cleansed? Is it not to be in good standing with God and man? Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the day that we should work on it. This is the day that God has given us. This is the day that God has made. Let us, as children of God, be glad and rejoice in the fact that Jesus Christ is still calling on us. Further in our text, verse 25, and when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have anything against any. We should forgive everybody. And then it said that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you. If we take hostage of somebody that has wronged us, or somebody that has done something wrong somewhere else, if we just hold a great grudge against such a person, let me tell you, friends, God is not able to release his blessing upon us. We need to release the people that have wronged us. We need to forgive them. We need to release them so God can release his blessings upon us. If we don't forgive others their trespasses, how will our Heavenly Father forgive us? He will not, according to Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. He will not. He cannot. He will not release if we don't release our fellow person. But if we forgive each other, God is willing to forgive us as well. Those are our text words for today. And then from there, in further preparation of communion, I would like to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 to 29. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup. We know that we eat bread at communion and we drink of the cup. Ye do show forth the Lord's death till he comes. This is a command of Jesus, even though Paul is saying it, is writing it here. But this is a command of Jesus as well. He says that at a different place. Therefore, every time at communion, no matter who is serving the communion, if it is a believing pastor, the suffering and death of Jesus Christ will always be presented because this is the command of Christ. It is a feast to remember what Jesus has done for us, how he suffered the punishment that you and I deserve, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it is a reminder how Jesus was not only crucified and suffered, he was scourged, his hair were plucked out. He was crucified. All these punishments you and I deserve because we have sinned. And Jesus took our place. And he also took our place on the cross where he died for the remission of our sins. He hung on the cross, his shoulders were pulled out of the sockets until he finally called out and said, "It is finished." The demand of God had been accomplished. Salvation's plan was done, it was finished. And it is sometimes said that there is nothing we can add or take away from it. There is something we can do, and there is something we need to do. That is to repent of our sins and take on Jesus Christ as our Savior and Redeemer and our Master. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of Christ, of the Lord. Let us just for a minute put into our minds the day when Jesus was sentenced to death. How many people were screaming, "Crucify him, crucify him." And if we are against what Jesus has done for us, if we don't believe and don't follow the gospel message, we could be of those that also cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him. We don't want anything to do with him." But thank God we are not of those. We are not of those. But if in such a stage somebody takes communion, not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, not having repented of his or her sins, we are guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ and of his body. But we are not of those if we have accepted Christ as our Savior. Verse 28 says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of this bread and drink of this cup. That is why we have Preparation Sunday, to examine ourselves not only today, but day by day. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. If something comes to mind that we are not in good standing with other people, friend, let us reconcile to God and to man before communion, so we don't partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily. Let us prepare ourselves also for the rapture, for the coming of Jesus Christ. That when he comes, let's say, if he would come this hour, we'd be sitting in a church, or I should say, in the house of God, and Jesus would come to take his children home, that we would not remain sitting, that we would all be plucked up and gone to be with the Lord forever. How sad for those that would stay back. But my hope and my prayer is that there would be none, that all would be lifted up and go with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle James writes in 1st chapter, verse 11, verse 12 to 15, James chapter 1, verse 12 to 15. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let not man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of the Lord. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does tempteth he anyone with evil. I had such a hard time for many years to understand the Lord's Prayer, where it says, lead us not into temptation. Here we find very clear that God is not leading us into temptation. He sometimes allows temptation to happen, as he did to Jesus in the wilderness. But that is to test our faith, to test our faith. But when I read the Lord's Prayer in a Spanish Bible, there it gives us a different meaning. There it simply said, no deja caer en la tentación. If you understand what that means, then you know what it is. If you don't understand, I'm going to tell you. Don't allow us to fall in temptation. Temptations will come over us, but our prayer is that God will not allow us to fall into sin when temptation comes, as Eve and Adam did. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Let me think back a little bit to the time of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God did not say to Eve, thou shalt not eat of the tree of good and evil, of the knowledge of good and evil. God said that to Adam before Eve was created. But when we think of the fact, as it is written in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16 and 17, where it talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When Eve was tempted, she first looked at the fruit. Some people say it was an apple. The Bible doesn't say what kind of fruit it was. But it was a good-looking fruit. And it seemed to be good for eating. And the other thing Satan had put in her mind and had told her, it will make you wise and you will know what good and evil, about good and evil. Until here they only knew good, not evil. First of all, this lust was put in her mind and her eyes, the lust of the eyes. She looked at the fruit. Then the lust of the flesh, she picked of the fruit. She used her body, her flesh, to pick of the fruit and to eat of the fruit, the lust of the flesh. And she gave to Adam, and he also ate. And that resulted in the pride of life, where they thought they knew better than God. They found out that they were naked. But in the book of James, we find that these, James 2:17, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of the Father. They are of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This fleshly lust, we need to do away with that. We need to lay it at the foot of the cross and leave it there. Then we go to John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, verse 47, there Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. How important is it to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Not with an empty faith, but with a faith that produces fruit. And if we love one another, it is part of the fruit of the Spirit. If we forgive each other, that is also fruit of the Spirit. We need to forgive, as I read before in our text words. We need to forgive, for without forgiveness, we don't find forgiveness with God. Then I turn to the Old Testament in the book of Proverbs, chapter 28. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, we're in verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. If we hide our sins, we will not be freed of them. No, it doesn't work that way. We need to confess them. And we need to plead for forgiveness. How then are we doing that? How then is that possible? But first of all, I would like to say, especially for men, it is sometimes very hard to confess our shortfalls. And listen to this, especially if we have mistreated our spouse or our children. It is not the easiest thing to do, to confess our shortfalls, but it is a possibility, and it is a very powerful possibility. If we mistreat our family, we lose confidence. We lose their support. They lose their respect towards us. And this is the same way if we mislead the church people. They lose their respect towards us as pastors. But if we confess and forsake, he is gracious and merciful. We find written in the book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is such a simple thing, according to this verse. And yet it's sometimes so hard. But Jesus is merciful. In the book of James, chapter 5, and verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. For the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This is so important that we realize that we forgive, that we confess our shortfalls and bring them to the throne of grace. As Jesus said to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, according to 2 Corinthians. The grace of God opens the door to faith and to forgiveness through Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for the grace of God, this opportunity would be closed to us. But now the door of grace is wide open. Don't miss the opportunity. And if you haven't already done so, friend, please do it today. For tomorrow, we don't know whether we'll be here. The Bible tells us that today, as we live, we are to repent, for tomorrow is not ours. Tomorrow we may not have the opportunity to reconcile with somebody. We might have been called out of this life, or the other somebody might have been called away, so that we have no more opportunity to reconcile. As I mentioned, if you need to reconcile, please do it today. For God is such a wonderful God, he does not want the death of a sinner. But he wants everyone to repent and to live a blessed and God-fearing life here on earth for the rest of our days. And to live at the right hand of God for all eternity. This is also my desire as a pastor of the church. This is my desire for all. For the church family and for our immediate families. That none will be missing when Jesus comes for the rapture. That one and all be lifted up to be with Christ forevermore. Another thing I would like to say, don't hold yourself back from communion because you're not in good standing with somebody else or because you have sinned. Don't let that hold you back, but reconcile. and appreciate forgiveness of sins. Repentance is the fact to realize that we have sinned, that we have fallen short, that we have made mistakes in the past, and to confess them and to plead to God for forgiveness and to our fellow person. Then Jesus comes with his comforting words. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." God does not want the death of a sinner, but that everyone repents and lives in time and eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, friends, let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Lord God, for who you are and that you sent Jesus Christ into this world to receive sinners, to save sinners, to take our cross at the punishment table and at the cross, to take our place, I should say, that we may go free from sin, free from eternal damnation. Lord Jesus, we thank you. You have called out and said, "It is finished." Our Heavenly Father was satisfied with the deeds that you acted out on the cross, as you gave up your life. No one took it from you. You gave it freely. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died for my sins, for each individual's sins. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And we pray that your protection will be over us today and in the time to come. In Jesus' name, amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with one and all today as we continue to worship him. And I'll give an opportunity to whosoever will. Please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, hear all. Increase upon the spoken words.
Good morning. There's a few notes that I just want to highlight. They are in the bulletin, but one is that the communion, all the dates are in the bulletin. They're not on the back of the ministerial list, so I would encourage everybody to take your bulletin home so if you have the dates, then communion will be. And the other one is that tomorrow night is the annual Sunday school and youth leaders meeting. That's the meeting when we will elect our youth leaders and Sunday school teachers. And I would earnestly invite you to come. Brothers and sisters, we are in dark days. We know that. The only hope for the world is Jesus Christ. The only hope for the church is our children. That is the future church. And I would really encourage you to come and be volunteers for the Sunday school. Because we are in need of teachers that are more familiar with the English language, and don't be shy, don't be ashamed to come forward and say, "I will accept that position if needed." I would encourage you, if you're interested in it, contact Brother John Neeson. I think he is one of the nominators in the nominating committee, if I'm correct. No? Well, sorry then. But contact Harold Penner or Ruben Penner. Don't be ashamed. Because you know what? The reward in heaven would be great if we would stand up for Jesus Christ in this world. He will not be ashamed with us in the presence of his Father. I know this is many years ago when I was first elected. I did not felt that I could do it, but I said, at first I said no. But then one of the ministers asked me, "Do you want to attend a church that has the doors and windows nailed shut?" And I said no, and he says, "That's what will happen if nobody wants to work. We need you, please." come forward and help us. May God bless you.
I must say, it is sometimes hard to understand that so few people come to the meeting. It is not just an invitation to come to the meeting. It is a responsibility for the church members to be at the meeting. If we seem to say no to Jesus Christ, what about if he should say no to us? But I see that our time is past. Let us bow for the benediction. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present you faultless before his presence, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. In the name of Jesus, may now go in peace. Praise God.